As announced, the topic for today is an unusual one. He says, what is the end of the followers of Antichrist? You know, this is a topic I've never preached before, and so you have never heard before. But it is so timely and realistic that I pray that you will focus your heart and mind, attention to all that will be spoken. Who is the Antichrist, you say? Oh dear, we've all heard of Christ, but who is this fellow called Antichrist? Obviously, the name itself is self-explanatory. Jesus Christ has an enemy. That enemy will be polarized and crystallized into one man. One man. Who is he? I don't know. But I say the Word of God describes enough for us to identify him, not in person, but in principle. We know what kind of person he will be. Somebody who is against the Christian salvation. Do you know? Do you? Of course you should. You know Jesus Christ, don't you? Yes. Antichrist is somebody who opposes him. And whatever he teaches, he will say the opposite. And he will have followers. Now the topic for today is, what will happen to these people who do not want to follow Jesus, but follow the Antichrist? What will happen to them? It is an interesting topic. As I said, I've never yet preached on it. Now, we have spoken much and oftentimes on the return of Jesus Christ. What will it be like? I have two passages of scripture. First, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians. We've been on the book of Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And as we read, pray that the Holy Spirit himself will illuminate. Open your mind to understand what it is it we are talking about, because unless he illumines your mind, these things are like fairy tales. You're not sure whether they are true or false. But when the Holy Spirit shines the light on you, on your heart, on your understanding, you will understand. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is very interesting, and I urge you to pay attention to the reading as we read together. Right? Listen as I read. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. The writer is the Apostle Paul. Wonderful man. Wonderful man to have written this letter so that we can read it as though that letter comes to you. He says, now, we beseech you, brethren and sisters, you're included, by the coming of the Lord Jesus. Do you believe he's coming? This is the whole point. And by our gathering together unto him, this is the most wonderful thought and a reality that will soon come to pass. When Jesus comes, you, if you are a true believer, will be gathered to him. Do you know that? You say, well, I'm not sure. What does it matter? if I'm not gathered to him. If you're not gathered to him, is something very disastrous. Please don't play the fool with this. This concerns your whole entire future, for good or worse or bad. Don't play the fool. Verse 2. That if you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter, as though it's from us that we have written to you a letter. No. Paul has written just this one letter, that the day of the Lord is at hand. This is the crux of the matter now. Do you understand? Are you following? Verse 2. 3. Verse 3. Now this is to you. Pay attention. Let no man deceive you. Tell him something else. By any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and then man of sin be revealed, son of perdition. Who is being described here, do you know? Who is this man called the man of sin? Son of perdition, son of destruction, and he's destined for the deepest and the worst of hell. Verse 4. Who is this man who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God? Here it is. Antichrist is somebody who raises himself up, and whatever we preach for Jesus Christ about the truth out of the Word of God, he is the opposite to tell. And he says, oh, don't be so stupid. All that pie in the sky, that's what they tell us. Are you there? Verse 4. All that is called God, that is worship. So that this man sits in place of God, in the temple of God, as though he is God, and he makes himself to be God. Verse 5. We'll jump to verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now this verse 7 is a little mysterious. It's hard to understand. But let us assume that the letteth, in the old English, who says prevents. Now there is a power above this Antichrist who is able to prevent him from manifesting himself and exalting himself so that he is revealed. Verse 7 says, only the second part, only he who now prevents that person until he is taken out of the way, he will continue to prevent him from taking full power. Then when he is taken away, many interpreters say this power that is greater than the Antichrist, who can prevent him from manifest his full wickedness, is nothing but the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, this is the interpretation, and I believe it is the right one. Verse 8. Please follow. We are now on verse 8. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. On that day, when Jesus returns, when the Holy Spirit is taken up, Jesus Christ will come. What will happen? It says here, the Lord shall consume this wicked man called Antichrist. Now this is confrontation, please understand. Christ versus Antichrist. Son of God returning in power and great glory. Ruler of the whole universe, our Creator and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. What will He do? He'll confront the Antichrist, man to man. And what will happen? Antichrist will be consumed. Ah, dear friends, please understand. At this time, do not ever think, Jesus Christ is the babe in the manger. He's just a baby. No, dear friends. All you say, he's just the leader of the 12 apostles. And he walks the streets of Jerusalem. Who is he? Jesus Christ. Don't think of him as that, but think of him as the Son of God returning from heaven with great power and glory. And that power is so great, it says what? Please follow. I'm not inventing, but this is God's word. He will consume with the spirit of his mouth and will destroy Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. The topic of our sermon today is, what will happen to the followers of Antichrist? Now, please understand who are the followers of Antichrist. There are people who today laugh at Christians and they want to follow him, who tells them, don't be stupid. Going to church, following Jesus Christ, for that pie in the sky. After all, we are all evolved from monkeys. This is the tenor and the tone today, the message you hear everywhere. So how great is the army of Antichrist? I say, we do not know. But it is a very large number. All right, what will happen to him? To Antichrist, I said, dear friends, do not be a follower of Antichrist. Because this is not playing games anymore. But this is a final showdown. Christ, our Lord, will confront this man who is Antichrist on that day when he returns. And then what will he do? There will be no more mercy shown, but Jesus will consume him. Where does it say so? Verse 8. You make a note of it in your Bible. If you have a red pen, mark it so that you will never forget. Then shall that wicked be revealed, the wicked man called Antichrist. The Lord shall consume him with the spirit of his mouth and destroy him with the brightness of his coming. This is it. How it will be? It will be supernatural destruction, which the Antichrist has no power against. What power, you say? The power that made us. The power that made the whole universe, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, is the power of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, we have two more verses and then we conclude this. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, whose coming is after the working of Satan? Answer is Antichrist. The man we are talking about, and the man whose followers you must never be. Never, 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 never do what? Follow Antichrist. Never side with those who say, forget it, forget it. Don't be stupid. Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think. That's what they say. All right, verse 9. His coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and wonderful signs. Today, there are many so-called Christians who look for signs and wonders. And these signs and wonders are so enthralling and captivating and persuasive. They say, these people have got so much amazing powers. There must be something. We follow him. Do not be a follower of Antichrist. Please, no matter what happens. Verse 10, in conclusion, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, these people will tell you, forget it, forget it. Just enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. What will happen to them? It says, these people will be completely demolished because they received not the love of the truth. Amen. Up to here. Now, to reinforce your persuasion of the truth of the Lord's coming again, the theme I remind you, the theme. What is the end? I'm reading from the weekly. All right? What is the end of the followers of Antichrist? We want to know what will happen to Antichrist and his followers. Now, do you want to know? Thank God it is recorded for us in the book of Revelation. It's a wonderful book. Revelation chapter 19. Again, if you have a red pen, I'd advise you to mark the verses we are going to read. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 16. All right? Are you there? The very last book of the Bible is Revelation. And we are on chapter 19. I'll let you find your place first. Revelation 19, verse 11. Now, this is written for your benefit, for my benefit, so that we can all know what will happen when Jesus comes. What will it be like? So far, at Christmas time, you think, Jesus is a baby in the manger who had to be born among the cows and asses. We were in Bethlehem last year, 44 of us. And we went to a manger, to a stable. A manger is only the box where they put the fodder and the food for the animals. And there we saw with our eyes a stable of asses and horses and livestock. This is the place where our Savior was born. But do not imagine for a moment that Jesus Christ is coming back to that condition. No more, please. What is past is only a page of history. We're not talking and thinking and expecting our Lord Jesus Christ coming from heaven in amazing power and glory. Unimaginable. You cannot describe it. nor imagine what it will be. Right? That's enough for you. Verse 11. Now, the Word of God describes what it will be like when Jesus returns. So you have some idea of what will happen to the followers of this Antichrist, the enemy of Jesus. Verse 11. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Now, question. Who do you think is called Faithful and True? Certainly not you or me. By name, you know. His name is Faithful and True, and there is no one else in the whole of creation and the universe other than one man. Don't think of him in the manger stall or on the cross, but risen from the dead, Jesus Christ is now returning to earth. Now this is a picture and description so that you may understand when we talk of what will happen to followers of Antichrist. This is to give you an understanding of what it will be like. If you follow the followers of Jesus, of Antichrist, this is it. Verse 11, I saw heaven open, and the white horse, and the rider on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. No more a babe, please understand, or a helpless man hanging on the cross. That was history past. Jesus went there to conquer Satan. And on the cross, by his death and his blood, he overcame Satan for you and for me. You see, how did he do it? Please understand, Jesus rose from the dead. That is the proof, no other proof. Because Jesus rose from the dead, he conquered death. And he conquered the originality of death, Satan himself, who caused our first ancestor, Adam, to fall. Now you get the idea, the connection. Faithful and true is he who returns from heaven on a white horse. Can you imagine him? Now, what will it be like to his followers? Those who want to follow Antichrist on that day, when the Christ returns, Antichrist will be destroyed. Verse 12. Now we are speaking about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one whom we remembered at his table, Jesus Christ. Verse 12. The eyes of Jesus will be like a flame of fire, blazing. Oh, what power there is to our Savior. On his head were many crowns. So it is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, returning in power and great glory. Can you imagine it? Of course not. We cannot imagine. But the Word of God describes it to us. So as much as the Spirit of God illumines you to understand, please pray for understanding that you may know our Savior Jesus Christ when he comes is full of power. There is no one who can oppose him. Verse 13. And he was clothed with the vesture of this gown that's dripped in blood. Why blood? Why blood? Do you know the blood of Jesus is the only thing that has power over Satan. For it was the blood of Jesus that overcame him on Calvary's cross. And that blood is what we always remember when we take the cup. This is my blood shed for you. Do you get the connection? So that blood is shown so that all the world can see Jesus Christ clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. How well do you know that word? Oh, friends, Jesus Christ is known as the Word of God because it is the word that overcomes all the opposition of Satan. Verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. I dare say these white and clean attired riders on the white horses in heaven coming down with the Lord will include you and me. These are the followers of Jesus Christ, all the millions and millions who have believed and have trusted in him. On that day will be riding on the white horses from heaven. You say, how come I'm on earth? Ah, dear friends, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells, when Jesus comes, the first thing is the dead in Christ arise, and you and I will be transformed. We go up together with the Lord Jesus up to heaven. Now when he comes down, we follow him on white horses. Do you follow? All right, verse 15. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. What is the sword that comes out of his mouth? Answer, do you know? Of course you must know. It tells us the word of God comes out of his mouth like a sharp sword. And Jesus Christ needs nothing but the word to smite his enemies, all of them. One shot, everybody is destroyed. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. This is today's message, a message of hope, of comfort, of edifying, and instruction that we may all know, coming to the Lord's table, remembering him, serving him, is not in vain. On that day, it will be visible, present, and it will happen before your very eyes. What will happen is, say, all the followers of Antichrist will be punished. Read on yourself, chapter 20 of Revelation. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, bless the speaking of thy word, that we may understand it does not pay for anyone to follow Antichrist, to oppose the Lord Jesus. O Father in heaven, grant to us spiritual understanding and perception to know that our Lord Jesus Christ even now is in heaven's glory and power, preparing for his return to planet Earth. And we who believe may daily go forth as His witnesses to tell others of the Savior who saves, of the Savior who is about to return, that we may all be ready for Him when He returns. O Lord, our God, increase faith that we may understand and believe and trust in the Savior. In His blessed name we pray. Amen.